With the election season in our rearview mirror, we're getting to know some of the new faces that will be heading to Albany in 2021, and that includes Jeremy Cooney, a Rochester Democrat who flipped control of the 56th Senate District, which had previously been represented by Republican Joe Robach, who did not seek re-election. We spoke with Jeremy on Friday, November 20th. Welcome to the show, Jeremy.
Thanks for having me, David, and congratulations on your one-year anniversary.
Thank you very much. Someone did their Twitter research. I appreciate that. So turning the tables back to you again, you first ran for this seat in 2018 when Democrats successfully unseated 8 Republican incumbents to take a very large majority of the chamber. At the time, was it disappointing to see those other victories coming in around the state while you were coming just a little bit short?
Well, it's always disappointing when you work very hard for something and you don't get across the finish line. But we started something which obviously paid dividends in 2020, where we were out talking to neighbors and residents of the 56th Senate District across Greater Rochester about the opportunity that a Democratic Senate majority would in fact lead to. And so I was delighted that the Democrats did achieve a majority, and had several friends along the 2018 journey that were successful in their races. So of course I was celebrating their success. But we were determined that we were going to bring new representation to Rochester, and that even though we didn't get the result we initially sought to achieve in 2018, that we were going to persevere and keep going into the 2020 session.
I read that you were born in an Indian orphanage and raised in an Irish family in Rochester. So I was curious, did you ever struggle to come to grips with your identity growing up, or were you always sort of comfortable in your own skin?
Well, I had a single mom who raised me and was very open and transparent about my upbringing. I came to Rochester, to New York, as a very young child. So I only know Rochester and upstate New York as home. I have had the chance to go back to India and to actually visit that orphanage in Calcutta where I was born. But, when you have a white Irish mom, and you have a young brown boy, it was pretty obvious that we had a different type of family than others. So I didn't struggle with that identity, but I can say that going through the campaign, both in 2018 and in 2020, I got closer and more deeply connected to my South Asian heritage because of the support of not only the South Asian community here in Rochester, but really across New York State that embraced me and educated me on issues from our culture and from our heritage. So that was a really unexpected but really special joy of being a South Asian candidate and running for office. And obviously now that we have been successful, making history in that having an Asian American, let alone South Asian candidate elected to state office from upstate, that's the first time we've done that. And so I take a real special note there to hold that responsibility very close to me.
When you went back to Calcutta, did you feel any sort of connection with the area, considering, you didn't really spend much time there growing up? Or did it feel like a foreign land that you were visiting as an American?
Well, anyone who's been to India knows that it is a very different type of place. I think far different than so many other countries around the world. I've had the privilege of traveling a lot globally. And, India is very overwhelming in a positive way, but when you go to a country that has the population size that it does, and Calcutta is a very densely populated city, and you see lots of people with brown faces and jet black hair, it was a big adjustment to me, right? Because usually, being an Indian and being in the environmental settings that I had grown up in, and here in Rochester and upstate New York, I wasn't always, usually I was one or two Asian Americans or one or two Indians in the room. So to be surrounded by so much culture was overwhelming, but it was really exciting too. So I didn't feel, kind of a a connection that you would see maybe in a book like The Lion, right? Or a movie like mm-hmm. The Lion. But there was a sense of pride and there was a sense of belonging that I felt. And you know, I'm so glad I had that experience. We spent a month in India, so we really got to be able to be immersed in the communities and the culture rather than just kind of a tourist visit.
If you were casting your own, you know, version of The Lion, Nicole Kidman is in that. Who plays your mom in the movie?
Oh, listen, my mom is so special. I just watched the Netflix show, The Queen's Gambit,
mm-hmm.
and the lead character is this fiercely independent young woman, and I just couldn't stop smiling because it just reminded me of my mom. I think that was her when she graduated from college in 1963. I feel like that was her attitude about conquering the world. And so that's who reminds me. So maybe the actress who played Elizabeth in The Queen's Gambit would be my mom.
Well, Anya Taylor-Joy, and she actually, I think, it has some European roots. So maybe that could work with that Irish side of your family.
There you go.
Well, pivoting to 2021, when you take office in January, one of the first tasks you'll have as a member of the legislature is working with the governor to pass a budget. And this will be a difficult process because we're going to have a multi-billion-dollar deficit. And that's on top of a current budget gap that hasn't been addressed. Assuming Washington, D.C. doesn't solve all of our problems, do we need to grow the pie, a revenue pie, with either new streams or tax hikes, or do we need to consider cutting spending?
You know, I think it's a little bit of both. I acknowledge the challenges, and I am very hopeful about a federal relief program. In fact, I had a conversation with Leader Schumer on that just last week when we connected by telephone. But in the scenario that you've laid out, David, I think it's a little bit of both. You know, having worked in local government, being the former chief of staff right here in the city of Rochester, I've done both, right? We've passed budgets through our city council here that have created new streams of revenue, thought creatively about where those streams could generate from, not just through taxation, but through programs and sponsorship opportunities. But also, we have to have a very tough conversation on the expense side of the equation, which is what we know we don't do well in Albany. And so a conversation that really has stuck out to me and I think will guide me in my decision-making next session is one that I had with the former deputy mayor of Rochester, Len Reedon, who was a longtime Kodak executive. Unfortunately, we lost Len a few years ago to cancer. But in that, I was a young chief of staff and wanted to do everything that the mayor wanted to do. And I remember stopping and talking with Len in the hallway in City Hall. And he said to me, "Jeremy, we can do a lot of the things that you and the mayor want to do in this next budget cycle. But what are you willing to stop doing in order to do the things that you hope to accomplish?" And that really was a simple statement, but it really meant a lot to me because we can't ask government to do everything. And I think we need to have a real conversation about what's working well on the state level. And there's so many different programs, different departments that are operating in silos. And this is not new. This has been an issue in Albany for a long time. And, you know, we need to use real metrics and data to determine their efficacy and to make sure that we are best utilizing hard-earned tax dollars and they're being spent in the most appropriate way. So that's the kind of mindset that I bring to the conversation. I will say one more point that I think we've elected a lot of new members of the legislature, both in the Assembly and the Senate, from a different generation. And this is not political in the sense of Republican or Democrat. It's really just how do we use data to make more informed choices? And I think that's going to be something that we need to rely more on versus just kind of anecdotal affection for legacy programming.
We're speaking with State Senator-elect Jeremy Cooney, a Rochester Democrat who will represent the 56th Senate District. In terms of trying to make a system that relies on data and accountability, I think that one of the sacred cows that might need to get looked at is the state workforce and that's one that constantly comes up on the right, though, and has never been something that the left in New York has been willing to take a critical eye to. Do you think that that's an area where there needs to be new sorts of conversations about accountability and new metrics to gauge what sort of bang for buck we're getting when it comes to investing state dollars?
Well, I've been consistent with my belief on public servants and state workforce, and I want to be completely transparent that I was honored to receive the support of a number of public labor unions, including CSEA. But I will say this, you know, and my mother was a public school teacher, right? So that is single mom, right? So that I was raised in a strong union household. But I will say this, and that is that we know that government runs efficiently. We know that government runs well because of the experience and the longevity of a lot of our workers. What I think we could do better is the communication between those different workforces. So, for example, in state government, we do a lot with mental health services, a lot of good work. But there are a lot of different people nibbling on the sides of the issue and not a lot of people who are coordinating all of those good actions. There's some efficiencies that can be found there. It doesn't necessarily mean workforce reductions. What it means is a better picture of what our state workforce is focusing on. And that is something that I would be very open to having a conversation. I'm not afraid of that sacred cow. But I do not think that an elimination of, you know, just a willy-nilly elimination of jobs to save on a budget line makes good sense. Because we know that when we outsource functions that traditionally been accomplished by public servants, we know that there is a loss of knowledge, that there is a slowdown in process, and that the result isn't always significantly better. So we don't want to cut off our nose to spite our face, even in a very difficult budget year.
The bulk of the members in the Democratic majority in the state legislature, despite victories like yours in upstate New York, come from the New York City and suburban suburbs. So they get to set the legislative agenda in the Capitol. And I think there's no better evidence of this than the fact that two state representatives from Queens authored a major overhaul of the agriculture sector in 2019. In light of this dynamic, do you think upstate Democrats like yourself should reach out across the aisle to Republicans to form a bipartisan coalition on a case-by-case basis when it comes to certain geographic-specific issues?
First of all, I think it's just good government and good public service to be willing to have a conversation with anyone, despite their party affiliation, if it means advocacy around a certain issue. We know, and I'm a very proud upstate New Yorker, we know that there are different experiences and points of view and quality of life factors that impact upstaters versus downstaters. You know, my wife is from Long Island. You know, we know there's a big difference between Suffolk and Nassau County, right? So, you know, we have to be realistic when it comes to the nuances of the regionality of our state. Would I be willing to form some sort of coalition or, you know, group? Well, we know that gets people in trouble and all that, right? I'm not willing to go down that rabbit hole, but I am willing to have those conversations. I mean, we have added, and I'm hopeful that in District 50, Senate District 50, which is the John Manion race, that he will ultimately be successful. But we have added a number of new upstate members to the Senate, and yet there are still Republican members who have a lot to contribute. In Rochester, my neck of the woods, there are three different state senators that touch or represent a portion of the city of Rochester. I've got the majority of the city of Rochester. My dear friend Samra Brook in 55 is replacing Senator Robach. She has a portion of the eastern part of the city. And then we also have a Republican. This is Senate District 61, which is going to be represented by Ed Rath, a Republican, who's currently represented by Senator Razenhofer. And so, there are issues that the three of us should be thinking about that can best serve the needs of the citizens of the city of Rochester. And, you know, party labels shouldn't prevent us from having those important conversations.
I'm glad you brought up the city of Rochester and its Senate representation, because, as you point out, it has three senators, and that's the product of gerrymandering done a decade ago by Republicans to split the Democratic vote and ensure Republicans could have as many seats as possible. When lines are redrawn in advance of 2022, should Rochester be considered for just one Senate district?
Well, I think a lot depends on the population. And we know that the city of Rochester, for example, is losing population. We'll wait with bated breath to see what the census shares with us. I can say, as someone who grew up in the 56th Senate District, I grew up on a street off of South Avenue in the city called Cypress Street. Half of that street is represented still in the 56th Senate District. Half of the other side of the street is represented by 61. That just doesn't make any sense. It's bad government. Forget about, again, Republican and Democrat. A neighbor should be able to talk to another neighbor about getting help with state governmental services. They shouldn't have to say, oh, well, you live on this part of the block versus that part of the block. That's just unworkable and really irresponsible. So what I would like to see, and again, we should use data to drive a lot of these decisions, but we should have very clear lines that make sense so that neighborhoods aren't split up. There's actually a street, again, in my old neck of the woods, in the South Wedge area of Rochester, that has all three Senate seats represent. It's a one little street. It's Crawford Street in the city of Rochester, and they have all three represented. That's just ridiculous. And, you know, my background, you know, my public service started way back in the early 2000s working for our former congresswoman, the late Louise Slaughter. And that was the 28th congressional district. That was the old earmuffs district of Rochester, and then along the shoreline of Lake Ontario over to Buffalo and Niagara Falls. So I've worked in a district that just doesn't make sense. And that was very frustrating for the congresswoman. And I'm so glad that we got those lines redrawn years later. We've got to do the same thing to make our city of Rochester, our Monroe County region, just make better sense to better serve the people.
So, Jeremy, before we wrap up, I'd like to just do some rapid-fire questions with you, if that's okay.
You got it.
So, for starters, is the garbage plate overrated or underrated?
I have to think that depends on your age. For example, I would say it was underrated maybe 15 years ago. As I struggle to get back into some fighting shape, I say it's overrated.
Do you care that the Rochester Red Wings, a minor league baseball team, is now going to be affiliated with the Washington Nationals?
I'm really excited about it. When I started, that was back when they were with the Orioles. So mm-hmm. I'm excited that they are still have a major league affiliation. In fact, I just reached out to the Red Wings team owner, which is in the 56th Senate District, and congratulate her. I'm really excited about it.
Is it soda or pop?
I call it soda.
Okay. You mentioned your love of data. Are you for or against Nate Silver?
Well, he got it right, so I guess I'll give him some credit. But I did watch him with great fear, anger, and frustration in 2016. But hey, you know, the data is only as good as the data that was collected. So I'll give him the benefit of the doubt.
Who is a Republican politician from the last 100 years that you admire or could imagine yourself voting for?
I have a dear affection for Amo Houghton. Amo Houghton was a Republican congressman representing Corning. And I got to know him only as a young congressional staffer for, again, Louise Slaughter. And she used to say it was her cousin Amo. And he was so kind. And he voted in what he believed his best conscience for on social issues that he believed were right. And he was very independent-minded. And I just think he was great. We lost him this past year, unfortunately. But I think he's someone I really respect. And if I had the opportunity to vote for him, I would vote for him all.
What was the hardest merit badge for you to obtain on your way to becoming an Eagle Scout?
Well, the trickiest one was environmental conservation for me. Not because I didn't believe in environmental conservation. It was because it had a lot of paperwork. And so, when you're at camp, the last thing you want to do is sit under a shelter and do paperwork. You want to get out there and kayak and go on hikes. So that was the toughest for me, but I obviously got it done.
What was your favorite thing to do when you were at Albany Law School and you weren't studying?
Oh, boy. when I wasn't studying, that's a pretty rare moment. You know, I belonged to, I believe it's called the Sydney Albert JCC, which was around the corner from where I was living in Albany. And I would get up at the crack of dawn and be part of their spinning group. And I'm so excited I did that because now I have a Peloton and I don't feel, I can't go anywhere these days, but at least I have my spinning shorts still. And so I did a lot of spinning when I was in law school.
Where is the dividing line between upstate and downstate?
Ooh, controversial question.
We don't pull any punches here.
Yeah, this is hard-hitting journalism right here. So I actually saw a joke that someone said it was like above 125th Street, which I think is ridiculous for me, right? And I used to live in Manhattan. I would say anywhere the Metro North does not reach is where upstate is.
A popular description. If when you do come to Albany and there's no longer a coronavirus to worry about some point in the future, there is traditionally a pick up basketball games once a week that include state lawmakers and some other people in the Capitol. And your predecessor, Joe Robach, enjoyed playing. Do you anticipate that you'll be trying to play a little basketball?
Well, I told you I'm trying to get in fighting shape. And I do have a member of my team who is a former semi-pro basketball player. So maybe he can substitute in there while I get into some better shape. But that would be a lot of fun. I also, it's my understanding, I learned this through the campaign, that there is this underground group of staffers and lawmakers who do karaoke. and I know Pinto and Hobbs closed down, but maybe they'll find a new location. Senator Savino actually told me about this. So maybe I'll be joining that first. And I was a singer when I was in high school. So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
And finally, Wegmans, overrated or underrated?
You cannot overrate Wegmans. That's just offensive to hear. But I love Wegmans. I don't know what the percentage of my budget is that goes to the Wegmans family, but it's probably a pretty good one. But, you know, we used to have a great local grocery store right here in downtown Rochester called Hart's Grocers. I miss it tremendously. And we got to make sure that we keep our grocery store workers safe in this pandemic for sure.
We've been speaking with State Senator-elect Jeremy Cooney, a Rochester Democrat who will be representing the 56th Senate District come 2021. Jeremy, thank you so much for making the time and have a happy holiday.
Thank you. You too, David.
Join us again for Capitol Press Room, a production of WCNY Connected, Syracuse.